strap in and hold on. The fastest 2 hours of radio is going green. Believe Loud. Believe Loud, the longest running NASCAR radio show in East Tennessee. Presented by Food City. Value every day. Also brought to you by Bush's Beans, Bobcat of Knoxville, Bill Cox Furniture, Beginning Point Land Survey, Cox General Contracting, CFI Insulation, Phoenix Conversions, and Ted Russell Ford. The Lead Lap is produced in part by Trendsetters Media Group. We print everything. Now, let's go to the top of the pit box. Your pit boss for the Lead Lap, Ron Morton.
NASCAR revs their engines in a loud way, leading the return of live sporting events with back-to-back races at legendary bull rings like Darlington and Charlotte. Harvick and Hamlin tame the lady in black, while Brad Kay takes NASCAR's longest race in history. The Coca-Cola 600 in overtime. Mother Nature cancels the return to Charlotte Motor Speedway on Wednesday night, setting Chase Elliott up for a taste of sweet redemption in a rare Thursday night thunder, without the thunder, of course. After first being wrecked by Kyle Busch in the closing laps at Darlington and then KO'd by late caution with two laps to go in the Coca-Cola 600 at Charlotte, when the smoke cleared, Bill's boy, Chase, would not be denied, leaving Charlotte with a pair of wins and a $100,000 bounty bonus. Let me say that again, $100,000 bounty bonus. The bounty hunter got his prey, which happened to be Kyle Busch in the early week Tuesday night. Truck Tango, banking $100,000 towards COVID-19 relief, paid out in increments of $50,000 by Kevin Harvick and $50,000 from Gander Outdoor CEO Marcus LeMans to any Cup driver that could beat Kyle Busch in a truck race. The bounty hunter, Chase Elliott, did just that in his first time out, leaving the leader of the Rowdy Nation a little disgruntled with his employees. It's our third stop on our hashtag Small Business Strong campaign as we mix the power of live radio to support small and local businesses to help reopen this country. Today's honorary small business is Bill Cox Furniture. I'm your pit boss, Ron Morton, properly socially distanced to my left or to my right in this situation, or actually across from me is Hat Man Chris Corm, and someone that needs no social distancing whatsoever, to my left, Callie Gorgeous. Good Saturday morning, East Tennessee. It's Bristol, baby.
Bristol. We didn't know when Bristol was going to race. Hey. If Bristol's going to race, Bristol's going
to
race.
It's kind of crazy to be talking about Bristol racing in June, I guess. Is it June yet?
Yeah.
I mean, will it be June tomorrow?
You know, we talked about how challenging it is to race at Bristol every spring with the weather and everything. When they would have normally raced, they had perfect weather. So the irony was just cruel. But going to get to race tomorrow? Going to roll them off at 3:30, and then after that, going to run an Xfinity race on Monday night at 7 o'clock. I'm digging this midweek race, and I'm not getting a lot done during the week because I'm watching car races at night. But still, everybody trying to catch up.
Man, yeah. I love it.
It feels like every time I turn my TV on, there's a race.
There's a race. Oh,
there's always something to watch.
It's heaven.
It is heaven. It's like appointment TV. I mean, it's like awesome to be able to go in there on a Wednesday night or a Thursday night and sit down and actually see a live sporting event. So, obviously, hats off to NASCAR for being the first out and leading the charge for all sports. And now it looks like most of the sports are taking a play from NASCAR's playbook, Chris Gorham. And looks like they're going to go fanless. Pocono announced this week that they would be racing at Pocono and they would be fanless. So that came out. And a lot of the other teams are trying to figure out exactly what it looks like for them to come back. I understand, like the NBA, we talked about this a little bit last week. We're talking about actually doing their whole series at Disney World.
Yeah, really.
Playing their whole league, everything at Disney World.
Well, you know, one thing it's done, and as fellow promoters, Ron, I mean, it's caused people out of necessity to think out of the box. How do we salvage this? How do we make up our events? Because let's face it, these series and these organizations live off the revenue by holding events. So if you don't hold an event, obviously that's a big impact. And I'll have to applaud NASCAR for finding, I think, the best way in the sports world to try to get going again. I'll tell you, who's not racing without fans? And that's the local dirt tracks, man. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Friday at Bulls Gap, man, everything was, I hate to use the word packed because we don't, yeah, you know, social distancing and whatnot, but those places were healthy on attendance.
Packed 6 foot apart, everybody dying to get out and do something live. We were down at Calhoun's of the North City. Live music is back. Somebody said, well, we're not supposed to be dancing. Well, you know, I don't want to say us out on air, but I mean, there was some dancing going on. It's kind of hard to have a little live music and not have some dancing going on. But I mean, it was just awesome to see the boats backed in there and people just getting back to being normal. And that's what the small business tour that we're on, this is our third stop here at Bilcox Furniture, is all about, is just helping small businesses reopen. Bilcox Furniture, 1972, I mean, they're going on almost 50 years. Bill and Linda Cox started this in 72 down on Old Broadway and have grown to two locations. We're at the Knoxville location, which is just west of Kingston Pike. You can come by here. They'll be here, I think, until 6 or 7 tonight. 6 o'clock tonight, you can come by here. Beautiful, beautiful showroom. Plenty of social distancing. Actually, 35,000 square feet of social distancing between the two stores. If you're over in the Blount County area, you can go by there, see another Cox. Bobby Cox manages that store over there, another Cox family member. You can go by and see him. He is in downtown Maryville there on Broadway. Got a beautiful store. They took a beautiful, I think it was an old, maybe a Profits department store over there, and actually redid it. It's got this great beam structure, great bones, and man, they put all this beautiful furniture in there, and I mean, it's just gorgeous. I mean, I look at this store, I mean, it's, I can't bring my wife in here, Callie. Yeah. I mean, it's
if
dangerous.
Even if you don't need something, you'll find something.
Callie and I had a few minutes to we sat in every chair in this place. I'll tell you, it's beautiful. There's other furniture stores in this town, but this is definitely Bill Cox is my favorite.
This is my favorite. Yeah.
And it is a truly locally owned business. There's always a Cox in the store. Linda's here all the time, the matriarch of the family. Bill's here all the time. Bill Jr.'s here all the time. Bobby's out in Maryville. Brenda Cox. There's always a Cox at Bill Cox Furniture. They don't have to go to corporate and say, hey, you know, can we do this deal? I mean, they are corporate.
They
They make the deal. They've been making the deals for years. I mean, and they have to. I laugh at Bill because he tells story. We got to stay on Dad because Dad likes to give stuff away. You know, he said they'll come in, they'll buy a table and say, "Hey, you need two lamps? Just take them." You know,
maybe Dad will roll in here before we leave.
So yeah, maybe he'll roll in and send Callie home with a lamp. Hey, yeah. He likes pretty girls, so he might be in for some new lamps for your apartment.
And who doesn't?
Exactly. So anyway, we are on our third stop, and we are at Bill Cox Furniture on Kingston Pike. We'd love to see you come out. They're going to be here till 6 o'clock tonight. A lot of great deals rolling over for Memorial Day. They are the third stop of our small business tour. Real quick, we want to get to the bounty hunter. Does Chase Elliott have a new name, Chris Corum?
Yeah, that would be a great name, and I've always loved bounties growing up. When a guy gets to winning a lot or whatever, you put a bounty on him. I know at Tazewell Speedway we had one on Jason Trammell, and it's just such a cool thing to get the fans ramped up and give that old Wild West feel. But, yeah, Kevin Harvick, if a Cup driver came in and beat the locals, he had a first $50,000 bounty, like you said, and then Camping World stepped up with another $50 to go to charity. I don't think they've decided who that charity is yet.
COVID-19. Was Chase Elliott's relief fund was Chase Elliott's charity.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm so maybe it's
so obviously
lap.
A need. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Exactly. The restock Callie's apartment fund.
That would be a great
I
fund.
Wish.
Yeah, if $100,000 wouldn't do it,
from
but it would
Chase
be a good start.
Chase Elliott,
yeah.
Nonetheless.
Wouldn't that be cool? Some number nine.
Some number Lance. Nine gear
yeah.
in my apartment.
Yeah, you'd like that. Yeah. So what about it? I mean, Callie, the bounty hunter. Is that his new nickname?
If Chase is winning, I'm happy.
My whole family is. My mom and sister get so ramped up when Chase wins. And, you know, he's had a lot of disappointment, but this week he won two car races. He won the truck race and the cup race Wednesday night. And Chase somehow, bless his heart, finds a way not to get the deal closed. Yeah. But, yeah, won two races. My sister and my mom's texting me at midnight, hey, how about Chase?
Yep. Rubbed out by Kyle Busch in the final laps in the 600. KO'd by late caution leading that race in the other race. And just it looked like it just was not going to go Chase's way. I mean, everybody was up in the air. But we did get a chance to catch up with Chase after he redeemed himself. And this is what he had to say after his Charlotte one of his Charlotte wins.
Chase Elliott, you had one job and one job only. Go out there and win this race. How does the extra $50,000 sound?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. First off, just thanks to iRacing and Hooters, Chevrolet, and GMS for letting me come do this. A lot of fun. I really appreciate Charles and this whole 24 team for what they did in getting this thing prepared. It was, I mean, really good from the get-go and having, you know, no laps and the splitter being where it needed to be and all those things are really hard to get right. So they did a nice job and made it easy on me to, you know, be able to move forward and try to get back acclimated. It's been a long time, so doesn't make up for Sunday, but it was still a really good night and glad to win and do some good for the relief efforts for this virus.
Yeah, not only 50 from Kevin Harvick, 50 from Marcus Lemonis, but take me through those final laps. We know how good Kyle Busch is in a truck, and he's in your rearview mirror. What is that like, knowing that and watching that?
Yeah, you know, he was a little better than I was there at the end. I had gotten tight, and I don't think we adjusted enough on that last pit stop. I was a little scared, too. I really didn't know exactly what I needed or what these things did as time went on, so... luckily, you know, the right front stayed on it long enough to get to the end, and I think he burned up his stuff pretty hard trying to get to me. So, just appreciate the effort. It was a lot of fun, and to be able to come out and to outrun him and him finish second, you know, I'd much rather him finish second than wreck or something. So I feel like I did something right.
Chase Elliott, bounty hunter, he collected tonight, guys.
That's the bounty hunter, Kyle Busch, Chase Elliott, after taking $100,000 away from Kyle Busch's charity with a bounty that they had put back at Phoenix. And after that, we got a chance to catch up with the other side of the coin, and that was Rowdy Nation. And here's what Rowdy Nation had to say.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't help showing up to the racetrack with broke parts on your truck. So that was a problem from the get-go. Didn't have our right front stopper right, so we were all over the splitter, so we came in and didn't know that it was broke, so had to fix it with a makeshift piece, and it was way too high, and then we tried to fix it and just never was right. So we were out in the left field the whole night, never really had a great feel for the truck, a great driving truck, and just salvaged what I could.
All right, well, we are going to open up the floor for questions. As a reminder, click the Participants tab there at the bottom and raise your hand, and I will get to you. We'll start off with Bob Pockers with Fox Sports. Go ahead, Bob.
You had won 7 truck races in a row, so, I mean, no, it might be hard to be greedy, but is this one frustrating because I guess you feel it's self-inflicted?
Self-inflicted. Threw it away. Yep. Had 6 months to prepare and screwed it all up.
That was Kyle Busch, the cleaned up version of that, Chris Corum, talking about the loss to Chase Elliott. Sort of ironic that just the first race out, I mean, Chase gets it done. I mean, and Kyle blames it on bad parts.
Well, and, you know, one thing I do like about Kyle Busch, he hates to lose. And to me, that's the grit of any good competitor is just, you know, when you're that dissatisfied, I call it inspirational dissatisfaction, is you just don't like to lose. A lot of people say, well, you know, we had a great truck, we ran second. Not Kyle Busch. If he doesn't win, he's not happy. And I've often said that's the only time I enjoyed myself at a racetrack is when I won. I was miserable when I didn't. Yeah. And I think Kyle Busch is really like that, and that's one thing that makes him so good and sometimes so unlikable, but that's part of it.
I mean, I couldn't help to think that maybe they set him up back in the shop because he's an ass, and they just sent him to the track with a broken truck. I mean, I'm thinking, okay, you know, maybe if you weren't such a butt, then maybe they wouldn't have sent you to the track. Maybe it was a setup, conspiracy theory. You know how that goes in our sport.
It was an ambush.
It was an ambush.
Yeah. See what I did there?
Mm-hmm.
It was an ambush, exactly. So we're talking about Kyle Busch and Chase Elliott. Chase Elliott collects $100,000. For charity off of the bounty of Kevin Harvick and Marcus LeMans. And then probably to add a little salt to the wound, the greatest thing of all was when Chase Elliott gets out of the truck, he takes Kyle Busch's bow, which was awesome. And this is what Chase and Kyle Busch had to say about that.
It was a spur of the moment thing. I thought we've had so much fun with this, you know, with Kevin and putting up the money and you know, Kyle is a good sport, you know, about it, I hope. But just having fun, man. You know, it's not a dig at anybody, but just, you know, just having fun with it. You know, it was about beating him, and we did it. So why not have some fun with it?
Imitation is the strongest form of flattery or something. I don't know what it is, but that's cute.
That's cute.
That's cute.
Kyle Busch says, "Is that a word normally in his vocabulary?"
Cute.
I don't normally see that word with him. Do you, Callie?
My grandma thought it was cute too.
Did she?
She sent me a text.
She
about
could
that.
Use cute, but for Kyle Busch to use the word just, "that's cute,"
I think he was a little upset about it.
You think?
I think
we didn't. We didn't run the post race interview. It was too nasty.
Too nasty to.
Yeah. They didn't even run it on Fox until they got it cleaned up, because a lot of people thought he didn't give a post race interview, but he did give a post race interview. But
shouldn't have.
It would. But yeah. Should have kept his mouth shut a little bit and dropped the F bomb a few times. I don't care to say that, and I'm not going to drop it. But you know, he was visibly frustrated and that he had broken equipment, according to him. And he did struggle through the race, but, you know, I'll give him some credit. I mean, he came back with a second-place finish with not real good perfected equipment. I think he was most frustrated because they had had so much time and those trucks had sat there for that long that they apparently brought a piece to the track that just wasn't ready to go.
That wasn't ready, and it made him, in his opinion, look bad, and he got beat.
I would have hated to have been on that team.
Yeah.
Afterwards.
Yeah.
Who's, I bet they did not.
Whose
have
responsibility
a good night.
Was it to make sure that was ready
that
to go?
That one piece.
Sure.
Yeah.
Whoever it was that he made mad, obviously it was their responsibility because
that's right.
They sort of fixed his red wagon when they sent him with that broken truck to compete for that $100,000.
We'll fix you.
He is Hatman Chris Corum. I am the Pit Boss Ron Morton. Callie Gorgeous. A little giddy this morning with these Chase Elliott wins coming out of Charlotte.
I love a Chase Elliott win. I love it. You all know. I haven't picked him. Maybe I'm Chase Elliott's bad luck.
You could be. You pick last week? Do you recall?
I picked, let's
someone
see.
Else.
Busch. Kyle Busch.
Yeah, Kyle Busch.
And Kevin Harvick.
See, you just reversed it. I mean, you gave Chase good luck. Maybe you need to keep picking Kyle. Tyler's going to be ready for you in hour two.
He is.
He's loaded. Really... He didn't call in last week. I'd say he is going to be. I'm just going to let you handle Tyler today.
You know, I was Chase Elliott's good luck, I thought. According to Tyler, I won Tyler a bunch of money. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, you know, I hear he broke up with his girlfriend, so maybe he's just trying to impress Callie Gorgeous.
I hope so.
Tyler or Chase?
Is it working? No, Chase. Well, maybe Tyler too.
Tyler's got a wife.
That's right. Oh, Chase, exactly. Anyway, we are live, and we are at Bill Cox Furniture. We're going to be here until noon today. We're on our third stop of our hashtag Small Business Strong Tour. We are happy to be celebrating since 1972, the Bill Cox Furniture family. The store is open. It is absolutely beautiful. We're looking at, you know, I don't know, what is there, 100 dining sets out there? If you need a recliner, you should come by. The reclining gallery is fabulous. I tell you, Chris Gorm recliners have changed a lot. I mean, we ran a campaign called Ditch the Stick. You know, your old man's recliner had the stick on it.
Oh, yeah,
these power
yeah.
recliners are just fabulous. They'll massage you. They'll lift you. They'll actually shoot you up
on
your feet.
Like an ejector seat.
Yeah, like an ejector seat. They'll eject you out. So come by and check those out. They got great deals. We're going to interview Bill Cox Jr. in the second hour, and he's going to tell you what we can do. So welcome by. Basically, today's Driving Talk, it's Bristol, baby. Call in with your Bushes Beans, Bristol or Bus Picks on the other side of the break, and your best, it's Bristol, baby, and qualify for the huge Bristol or Bust prize pack. The speed lines are now open, 865-656-9900. That's 865-656-9900. We would love to hear from you. We would love to hear your It's Bristol, baby. We are live at Bill Cox Furniture, Kingston Pike. We are hashtag small business strong. We are the lead lap. How about some news and notes with Callie Gorgeous?
News and notes brought to you by Cox General Contracting. Call Cox.
Last week, NASCAR ran the Coca-Cola 600, the longest race by miles in NASCAR's history. It also felt like it may have been one of the longest in hours. After a rain delay in overtime, the six-hour event concluded with the number 2 of Brad Keselowski as the champion, but the number 9 of Chase Elliott faced a second heartbreak. With 2 laps to go and a 3-second lead, Elliott saw the yellow flag and pitted for new tires. He came up short, finishing in 3rd. However, Elliott's bad luck was short-lived. On Tuesday night, revenge was served as Elliott picked up the bounty placed on Kyle Busch in the Truck Series. Following that, he secured a victory at Charlotte's second Cup event of the week on Thursday night. That leaves the number 9 sitting 3rd in points. The lineup was set by random draw based on owner's points this week, putting Brad Keselowski in pole position. The green flag is set to drop around 3:15 tomorrow. It's Bristol, baby! News and notes brought to you by Cox General Contracting. Got a building project? Call Cox.
Illinois.
Now, back to the fastest 2 hours in radio, the Lead Lap. Brought to you in part by Bill Cox Furniture and Busch Beans.
We are live at legendary Bill Cox Furniture, a true small business, a true locally owned business since 1972. It's our third stop on our hashtag Small Business Strong Tour, where we're using the power radio to help support and reopen our local small businesses. It's all started in downtown Knoxville 48 years ago by Bill and Linda Cox, and now with 2 locations, 35,000 square feet of furniture, it really is the only place that you should shop. What we say, Chris Corum, is if you didn't shop Cox, you didn't shop. Shop Cox. Can you say that?
If you didn't shop Cox, you didn't shop. Shop Cox.
Yep, he's got it.
How much wood did a woodchuck chuck?
How much Cox would a Cox shop?
Careful.
Shop.
I'll tell you one thing. This is my favorite furniture store in this town by far. Bill Cox. I love this place. Callie and I just... We're going to be lucky if we don't have furniture loading our vehicles when we leave.
I've got a new apartment on the horizon, and I think Dad and I might drop some dollar bills.
They look for those situations around here.
Yes, they do. Bill Cox Jr. will take good care of you. Probably can get a free lamp or two. Just never know. Get some Chase Elliott merch in here.
Yeah, that's what we need.
Get that on your nightstand. Speaking of rock stars, let's get to Lynn's call. Lynn, welcome to the Food City Lead Lap.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate that. Guys, I was going to try and stop by and see you, but I just ran out of time. I'm almost suffering from overkill. There's so many races on, I can't keep up with them. But I thought the best one that we've had so far was the truck race Tuesday night. The ending, that last 30, 40 laps of that was pretty doggone good.
Well, it was, and I think the bounty and everything kind of added to that drama, and then we just almost had to assume the 51 was going to jump up there and find a way to win, as he had the last seven truck races in a row, and, man, he just couldn't get it done.
Yeah.
All right, Lynn, we got to get your It's Bristol, baby.
I'm going to go with the Joey Logano.
Well,
I'm going to beat Andrew out of that.
Not just your pick, but we figured you would open with It's Bristol, baby.
Well, you know, with not being able to go, and all, it's just, you know, I'm enjoying all this, but it's not the same. I mean, we ought to already be up there, you know?
Yeah, we should.
this is... it's just not the same. I hope we're there in September. I really do.
I'm going to tell you, Lynn, I think this is going to be the oddest race. As far as without fans, I think we're going to notice the biggest difference in the feel of the place at Bristol than anywhere else so far.
Yeah, and, you know, Chocolate Meyer said yesterday on his show that it would be louder without fans than it would with fans, that the car noise, he said he'd been there a couple of times for practices and all that, and back in the day, and so he's saying it's going to be louder with no fans there because there's nobody to absorb the noise.
He may be right. And you know, the noise kind of bouncing back off the aluminum bleachers, he may be right. I know we tested all pro cars up there one time, man, and those things were super loud, and I did notice a difference, but I'll tell you, it's a loud place, loud racetrack.
Yeah, that it is. But I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, it is Bristol, baby. So we can't deny that. You know, Chase is hot, but it's just hard for me to believe that he can stay hot for this one. And that's the reason I didn't pick him. It was, I had the opportunity to. But, I think Logano was, you know, has been pretty hot this year, and he's been good at Bristol. It was hard not to pick Kyle Busch, but, you know, we'll see. It should be an exciting race and different for Bristol. You know, it's going to change from Sunday afternoon to Sunday evening. It'll get cooler. Track will change. So it'll be whoever's smart enough to stay a half a step ahead of the racetrack.
Yeah, I think so, Lynn. We appreciate you calling. Anything else?
No, that's got it. I've got something I got to get to here. Well, I appreciate you guys getting me in early.
Absolutely. We appreciate you, and you have a great day. Let's get to John's call. John, you're on the Food City Lead Lap.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Morning, John.
Hey, it's Bristol, baby!
There we go.
I love to hear it.
Callie, give him one back.
It's Bristol, baby!
There we go.
She sort of had that manly raspy, growly, manly.
I've got a lot of different.
Boy, you do.
Yeah, depend on the situation.
Exactly.
You got to have different.
Let's hear your sweet It's Bristol, baby.
Me or Callie?
Callie.
Let's hear John.
I'm so happy for Chase for winning there at Charlotte. I had him last week, so I got a name in the hat.
Nice.
Yeah,
what'd go, John?
So that's good.
What do you think about Bristol? You think you can get it done there, John?
Man, I would like to think so, but I think my pick is Rowdy this week. I think he's going to have something to say about proving a point. So I am going with Rowdy.
I think that's a safe pick, too. He seemed pretty upset. He's got that fire lit in him. I think we could see a Kyle Busch win. I'm with you, John.
I'll tell you, John, if there's one place that the driver makes a difference at a racetrack, it's Bristol. And I'll tell you, several years ago, he won the Xfinity race, the truck race, and the cup race, and it was incredible to watch.
Yeah, I've been to Bristol quite a bit, and yeah, he's pretty tough there. So that's my story, and I'm going with it this week.
All right, man. We appreciate you calling, and we appreciate you tuning in to Food City Lead Lap, and we wish you luck again. Congratulations on your pick last week.
All right, we'll talk to y'all later.
We'll see you. Hang with us through the break. We're back up against another one. Got to pay for this thing. Hashtag Small Business Strong, our featured business today, Bill Cox Furniture. The phone lines are stacked up. Andrew and Tim on the other side. More of your calls, too. 865-656-TALK. Is that our number? 8255? I think that might be Talk Radio's number. I always get confused because that's in my mind. Anyway, you're listening to the fastest 2 hours in radio, The Lead Lap, Callie Gorgeous. It's time for some track facts.
That's a fact, Jack. Track Facts, brought to you by Phoenix Conversions.
Racing is happening at the Last Great Coliseum this weekend. That's right. It's Bristol, baby. The short track is banked 26 to 30 degrees in the turns and 6 to 10 degrees in the straights. It holds a capacity of 162,000 fans. Hamlin was the last driver to take the checkered flag at Bristol, and the track record was set by Chase Elliott in 2019 with a speed of 131.713 miles per hour. Track facts brought to you by Phoenix Conversions, when it has to be the best.
Now, back to the fastest 2 hours in radio, The Lead Lap. Produced locally by Trendsetters Media Group. We print everything.
Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. In the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping. With folks like me on the job from 9 to 5.
Welcome back. Little Dolly Parton, another Tennessee native. I guess, you know, the connection is Tennessee, and we're racing in Tennessee up the road at Bristol this weekend. So perhaps that's why Sam Foreman decided that he'd play working 9 to 5. But he's been working a lot of 9 to 5 lately, hadn't you, Sam?
Yeah, it's been a little interesting around here. Fewer people in the building. A couple extra double shifts. We're doing a Sports 180 with Josh and Heather for the last 6 weeks, and then normal sports talk. But yeah, had some unfortunate tech issues arise, so didn't have as much time to necessarily go super into the theme I originally had planned for this week. So it's kind of Tennessee / mountain theme for the day, since it is at Bristol and Thunder Valley and the beautiful Appalachian mountain setting that we have here in East Tennessee.
I love it, Sam. Yeah. It's Bristol. Chase Elliott's on a winning streak. We start the top of the hour with Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
It can't get any better.
Life's good.
I'm in a furniture store.
Hey, fun fact, the best I can ever do is be the second most famous person to ever graduate from Sevier County High School, because went to the same high school as Dolly, and let's be honest, ain't nobody topping Dolly as far as fame. So, you know, I know they say if you ain't first, you're last, to quote Ricky Bobby, but being second to Dolly Parton's the best I could ever do.
That is you, Sam. The second most famous. That's you. That's how we see you.
I thought maybe it was a throwback from the double Darlington race, the double D, you know, and they were tying on all together. It was kind of where I thought he was going with that.
That could work, too.
Yeah.
Ron is the only member of our show that would have thought in those terms.
Well, I mean, they pay me to think. All right, he's Chris Cormat, man. She's Callie Gorgeous, and I'm Ron Morton, your pit boss, and we are live at Bristol. Or no, we're not live at Bristol.
Well, we should be live
at Bristol. I've got Bristol baby on my mind. With that said, 656-9900, 656-9900. Let's get to Andrew's call. Andrew, welcome to the Double D Food City Lead Lap.
Bristol, baby!
Woohoo!
How y'all?
Andrew, amazing.
Very good, Andrew.
That's what you sound like when your wife's choking you going down the road because she thinks you can't drive. She says I'm a bad driver, which she's false about that.
You're just going fast. It's Bristol day. Well, it's Bristol weekend. What would she expect?
I'm going to stand up for you and say she's a bad rider.
Yeah.
Doesn't have anything to do with your driving. She just doesn't ride good.
Oh, you'll go around the curve, and she'll be like, oh, my gosh. She's on a roller coaster or something.
She's a horrible rider. I've got one at home, too, man.
Andrew, I'm going to tell you, I'm not a good rider either. I ride with no one.
But if she does the same thing in the car, she's driving, she's fine.
It's okay.
It's crazy. Anyways, I feel bad a little for Lynn because he don't have the same inside information that I have. See, Joey Logano told somebody who told somebody else that told somebody. I told my friend that he wasn't driving that good at Bristol because he had a bone in his right leg. So he didn't get that information, and he picked him. So he should have went with his first instinct and went with Chase Elliott because that's who I'm picking this week, Chase Elliott. He's on a hot streak. What do you say, Pally?
I agree with you, Andrew. You know, Andrew, I've always liked you. We're on the same page, Chase Elliott.
How do you get 2-9? Chase Elliott's
he's going back-to-back.
Yeah, what is that math, Andrew?
Yeah, he doesn't ever
back-to-back.
He never picks an odd number.
Right. He won two races.
Two races. There we go.
He was the 24.
He was.
I don't know. The numbers are getting jumbled.
It was in the library with a lead pipe.
Well, I had my math on a pad, and going around that curb, it flew out the window. I'm sorry.
So he's lost his math.
Well, that's hard to do, guys.
That's good.
I believe, honestly, it's going to be either Joey, Kyle Busch, or number 9. One of them three is going to win, my prediction. But I'm hoping the number 9 this week so I can get my third pick in the hat. So,
anybody but Kyle.
Yes. Well, hey, I'm on the road, and I am kind of driving a little bad right now, going through some construction. I got to go. I'm in North Carolina, so I appreciate you guys. Y'all have a great day, and go number 9.
All right.
Thanks, Andrew.
All right, let's get to Tim's call. Tim, can you follow Andrew? Welcome to the Food City Lead Lab.
Good luck.
Man, there ain't no following that.
How are you, sir?
I'm going to go with Harvick this week.
Happy Harvick. I tell you what, he's been pretty dominant when he's been dominant.
He has. When that thing's fast, and he unloaded fast, I think, after after Sunday's race, I think the Wednesday night car, man, was way better. But I don't believe I've ever seen a car fall off without damage as fast as he did that last segment. That last 30 laps, he went from out in the wind leading to back 10th or 12th or something in a few laps. I don't know what happened to it.
I don't either. And then my buddy John got the win with Chase, so – Good for him. Congrats.
Well, Tim, we appreciate you call, as always, and we're going to put you down for the number 4. He's he's got to make up some ground from his Charlotte snafu.
If he wins, that'll be my number 4.5.
Wow. Tim's on a roll, too.
A big season.
Tim, we've got to get we've got to get an It's Bristol Baby from you before you go to get your pick and a hat.
It's Bristol Baby.
That's a good one. Subdued but strong.
Yep. Never been to Bristol.
Looking
forward to winning and going.
Maybe we can get you there.
Hope so.
Thanks, Tim.
All right, thank you.
All right, that's Tim joining us with his It's Bristol Baby. If you want to call in and do your It's Bristol Baby, Lynn couldn't hardly get up because he wasn't going to go there. He wasn't coming. Andrew didn't have any problem with it.
Yeah.
You've had a pretty good one. I've had a good one. She's had a good one. That's a great call. So, anyway, call in and do your It's Bristol Baby in honor of racing at Bristol Motor Speedway. Hey, just in honor of live racing again, I mean, you know, let's get excited and let's get fired up. Hopefully we'll be able to get back in there. I think September the 19th is that NHRA race coming up, the 9th or the 9th. It's in September, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And I'll tell you what, Ron and Callie, you do a different Bristol Baby if you've been to Bristol or if you haven't
to
Bristol.
You do.
I mean,
because you can feel it.
Yeah, well, you get that.
You feel it in your gut.
With that leftover enthusiasm, even if it's been years.
I know. I always feel a little bit sad on Bristol weekend because I'm not Miss Food City anymore. It always makes me a little nostalgic, a little sad. But we've got my good buddy Kevin coming on, going to talk about Food City 500 has been renamed to
Supermarket Heroes 500.
Yeah. Supermarket Heroes presented 500. By Food City. Presented by Food City, honoring some of our essential workers during the coronavirus.
Yep.
So we're going to get to talk to Kevin.
Good. We look forward to that. Kevin Stafford, a very cool guy, very instrumental in what goes on at Bristol with Food City's involvement. And they've been involved in Food City, I think, about 27 or 8 years. I think it was the 25th anniversary there when Callie was Miss Food City up there. And, man, they do it upright. I'll tell you, it's a really cool thing that they do and their involvement in that racetrack and the community. Yep. And I'll tell you, you won't see anything but a Food City bag at my house. I can for sure tell you that.
Well, they're the second longest running title sponsor in NASCAR, second to none other than Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
If you're going to take second, then I mean, taking it to Coca-Cola is probably, you might as well be first, because I mean, Coca-Cola's been around forever.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so anyway, they are. And we're going to have Kevin Stafford, the president and a marketing director for Food City, not the president of Food City, but the president of marketing for Food City. He's going to be on talking to us about the Supermarket Heroes 500 presented by Food City, and that's tomorrow. You can catch that on Fox at 3:30. That's a 3:30 start tomorrow. It's going to be a great race there at Bristol Motor Speedway. I want to make a note that they'll be running the Xfinity Series on Monday. Chris Quorum talked about that a little bit earlier. So the schedules are kind of reversed and a little bit different. We're sort of leading our weekends off with the big race up front. So we're going to kick off the NASCAR week or weekend at Bristol tomorrow at 3:30. They'll come back and run the Xfinity Series, which is the Cheddar's 300 presented by Alsco, and that'll be on Monday night at 7 o'clock. So that's a night race, people, at Bristol for the Xfinity Series. The Xfinity Series racing's been super, super competitive this year, Chris Gorm. I got a chance to watch the Xfinity Series race this past week and really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's good racing. You know, you always got a couple of cup guys sprinkled throughout the field, and the Xfinity race at Bristol is always good. I mean, sometimes it's as good or better than the cup race. A lot of hungry guys back there, you know, running, trying to make a name for themselves. So it's always good. I'm looking forward to the Monday night race.
What about the rookies running this year in the Cup Series? You've been surprised by Christopher Bell, Tyler Reddick, John Hunter Nemechek. I mean, the rookie class seems to be pretty strong this year. Not made it to victory lane yet, but they've still, when you start looking at their finish positions, had some pretty strong positions in top tens, top fives.
Yeah, Christopher Bell's a great little race car driver, but I've been more impressed probably with Tyler Reddick and John Hunter Nemechek. I mean, every time you look up, you see his deal. He's running good. But now Tyler Reddick, always been a big Tyler Reddick fan, former dirt late model racer from California, moved to DeCoin, Illinois, and has raced at Tazewell Speedway a couple of times, which is very cool. And, you know, it's a cool family, cool story with Tyler Reddick, and was glad to see him get that opportunity. And, you know, Richard Childress equipment's a little better, I think, than most people. Although Austin Dillon's ran pretty good at the both Charlotte races, that Tyler Reddick, I think he may pop into a win before the season's up.
I'm a little bit surprised with Bell and thinking, as dominant as he had been in the Xfinity Series, stepping into the Cup Series. We all know there's a learning curve coming from one to the other. But, man, I tell you, he was the guy to beat in Xfinity Series race after race after race last year. I felt like he would have shown more at this point in the Cup Series, being so dominant coming out of the Xfinity Series.
I agree with you, Ron. That's kind of, I don't want to say hand-me-down Joe Gibbs equipment, but that, you know, it's a Joe Gibbs alliance there, and he's ran okay. But, yeah, I had higher expectations. And I'll be quite honest with you. I think Tyler Reddick and John Hunter Nemechek so far have had a better season than Christopher Bell.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. He's Hatman Chris Quorum. I'm your pit boss, Ron Morton, California. We are live during our hashtag Small Business Strong Continues Tour. We are live at Bill Cox Furniture this morning. We are the Food City Lead Lap. Coming up, we'll sit down with Bill Cox Jr. on the other side of the hour to tell us a little bit about this beautiful store. Talking dirty with Hatman. The man has a lot to cover there. And the Food City's marketing director joins us on the other side of the hour. Listen to us on Alexa, follow us on Facebook, tweet us on Twitter. We are the Lead Lap, and we promise to be right back.